tell me, what is the real welfare activity? Now tell me, is ISKCON devotees are neglecting the responsibility to their fellow human beings? No. They are actually rendering the most magnanimous welfare activity to this world. Hare Krishna. So, is there any other question? If there is any question for Sachinanand Maharaj? We'll do it like that. One question, I'll answer one.
Yeah.
So, next question, Sachinanand Maharaj. Was.
You gave the example of churning the milk and getting butter. So for this process you need not to have any faith, and it happens automatically. But in Krishna consciousness, if you just follow the process, you will certainly get results, or are there other factors involved? Not like a physical process.
The question is faith necessary in Krishna consciousness, or will it give result? Will the processes of Krishna consciousness give the result also without faith? There is one type of result which comes when the person just comes in contact with Krishna conscious processes without having faith, without applying anything, with just coming in contact. For writing our book, The Nectar Ocean of the Holy Name, we included one story from the Puranas about a Muslim person who ate rotten meat one day. And he developed a deadly disease from it, and was called by nature into the forest to evacuate, sich dort zu entleeren. So after this he was so weak that he could not stand up and leave, and he was shocked to see that there was a wild boar and wild eber who was extremely hungry for his human values, and charged at him, and because he couldn't wait until the poor man left and killed him. So while this man was being killed in this most embarrassing situation, he shouted in utter despair, "Haram! Haram!" which means condemned, condemned. Alas, alas. Now, he certainly didn't mean anything transcendental with this haram, but there was something transcendental in it. That is the syllable Ram, which is the holy name of the Lord. And it is described because he just chanted the name of the Lord unconsciously, unintentionally, without any motivation and faith and anything, he still got a very transcendental result to this liberation from the sufferings of material existence. This type of benefit is called agyata sukriti, something which you make without knowing. For instance, in Germany we have a plant butter, margarine, it's called Rama. So when a German husband calls in anger to his German wife, "Why is there no Rama?" You know, he chants the holy name of the Lord, and without faith and without any intention, he makes agyata sukriti. Obviously, in spiritual practice, faith is the most important. It is said, adho shraddha sadhu sangha. That first there is the faith, then there is association with devotees, and then there is the practice of spiritual practices. Spiritual practices, when they are performed with faith and without of apparat offense, are extremely potent. But even if spiritual practices are performed without faith, they have their potency, their agyata sukriti. So let us think about it. We as practitioners should develop our faith very strongly so that those processes yield more potent results. But fire burns if you know that it burns or if you don't know that it burns. Hare Krishna.
He is asking how should we understand that the Ganga is considered as pure, although we can see so many impurities in the Ganga.
Okay, the question is, how can you understand that Ganga is pure when you can see so many impurities in Ganga? Well, apparently you may see impurities, like you can see foam and dirt floating in the river and so on and so forth. But if you go deep into it, then you'll see that one thing is that Ganga water never becomes contaminated. You see, when British were in India and there was no steamship, they used to go on a sailboat, and it used to take them months. For the water supply, they would just carry Ganga water because they noticed that Ganga water doesn't go bad. Now, even today, you can see that. You see, although in, say, there's a place called Kanpur in central part of India where there are in lots of tanneries, you know, where the leather industry. And they pour the whole lot of, you know, their chemical waste in the Ganga. But the test has proven that within 15 kilometers or so, the water is pure again. Recently, some international group actually went to make a research on Ganga water. There was a team of German scientists and English scientists and American scientists. There was a team went, and they noticed that Ganga water has a tremendous quality that it never goes bad. And they came out with all kinds of theories. One theory was that the Ganga has some radioactive qualities that kills all the germs. Then another theory was on the bank or on the base of the river there are certain bacteria that eats up all the germs. They had all kinds of, you know, stupid theories. But the fact of the matter is that they also accepted scientifically that Ganga water is pure. Now, we also have one experience. Like at one time, we were thinking of exporting Ganga water to different parts of the world, to our different centers. Now, the first place we are thinking of sending was America. Now, American government for this kind of water has all kinds of restrictions. It has to be purified in this way and so on and so forth. You know. Now, strangely enough, we found that Ganga water that does not become contaminated or impure, after those tests, they became water became impure. And now we had some plastic barrels where we kept the water, and then like those water was sitting there for 4 or 5 months, and so we just thought, you know, out of curiosity, we took the water for a laboratory test, and although they were just sitting in a plastic barrel for 4 months, the test proved that the water was absolutely pure. So So, if you ask us, then we'll say, yes, Ganga is pure. And why Ganga water is pure? Because it is emanating from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And if you still have any doubt, you can go to India and have a taste. Or if you want, I can send you the water and you can have a taste in Germany. Hare Krishna. So next question is Sachinandan Maharaj's.
Mm-hmm.
There she is.
There's already somebody. So she was first.
Oh, yes.
You, please, you have to... to love yourself first. Mm-hmm. This Mataji heard that to be able to love others, you must first love yourself. This is modern psychology. They put a lot of stress on this. In Krishna consciousness, in order to love others, we think that you must have some feeling of compassion. Compassion means you have to see the suffering of someone, you have to desire to help him, and then you have to do something to help him. Now, only a compassionate devotee is only a devotee who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, who loves Krishna and who loves the living entities as part and parcels of Krishna. In other words, we don't really believe so much in modern psychology who say, love yourself first, be in harmony with yourself, give yourself a good drink of juice in the morning and in the evening and in the midday time, and you know, accept yourself in all conditions of life. We put stress that if we develop our original love for Krishna, we are so rich with love in our hearts that we can also love others as being part and parcels of Krishna. That's a different approach.
Sometimes we have a strong feeling that Krishna, he wants us to learn something, but we don't really know what he wants us to learn. So what can we do in that situation to find out what is our lesson?
Sometimes we have a strong feeling that Krishna wants us to learn something, but we do not really know what Krishna wants us to learn, so what should we do in a situation like that? You go to your spiritual master and ask him what Krishna actually wants to tell you. Because although you cannot hear Krishna's voice, but he can tell you what Krishna wants you to tell you.
Wie ist es möglich, ein eigenverantwortliches Leben zu führen, ohne aber in das Bewusstsein zu kommen, ich bin der Kontrollierende?
How is it possible to be responsible for your life without thinking that you are the controller? That's a very good question. We should learn to become responsible for our lives. That means we must learn to become responsible for our activities. We must learn to become responsible for our words. And later, if we are a little more advanced, we should also learn to become responsible for our thoughts. We should not tolerate if we do nonsense or if we speak in a way which hurts others. We should not tolerate also when our mind always has a private cinema of the material world rolling about. We must become responsible. Law of karma trains us to be responsible for our activities. That's the whole thing. Now, you may take responsibility for your life, but ultimately you have to be flexible. You have to find out what is Krishna's plan. Isn't it? Sometimes we all make our plans, then I do this, then I do that, then I do this, and then we see it's really not Krishna's plan. Oh, I'm not the controller. Oh yes, thank you Krishna for showing me. It has been said that in Krishna consciousness we should act in a way where we give our best. But we should know always that Krishna is in control and not we. We should be flexible. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Very often. It is said that in many places in the scriptures that we should not take the association of the mundane people. So I can speak now for myself, only that I live outside and I do studies and this and that. So you cannot always act to preach, like in every circumstance and preach, but then always the black and white thinking comes on that, oh my goodness, now I'm dragged down in Maya when I talk with these people because they don't want to know something about Krishna. So how to not always just think about like you yourself are dragged down, your conscience falls down. This is also some kind of arrogance, isn't it? Or
So the question, I'll put it as a question. So the question is that we have been told that we should not associate with mundane people. But I live outside, I'm studying, so I have to associate with the mundane people. And that feeling that, oh, I can't speak to them about Krishna and these are mundane people, isn't it some kind of arrogance?
Right.
So I will just go to the root of the question. What is the meaning of not associating with mundane people and associating with devotees? The real association is not physical closeness. Real association is actually internally accepting the values of that person. Right? So one may be in the middle of these so-called mundane people, but as long as he does not think that what they have is what I should have, he is not associating with them. If he thinks that actually I should give them what I have, then he is giving them his association and he is not being affected by being in their midst. That's why in the spiritual platform, we usually are accustomed to an example that a devotee has to be like a lotus. Lotus is in the water, but it doesn't touch the water. So the devotees of ISKCON are in the mundane world, right? Prabhupada didn't want us to go to a solitary place. Prabhupada wanted us to go to the big cities. He himself left Vrindavan and went to America. Because that is the place where we can reach the maximum number of people and give them Krishna consciousness. So here we may be in the mundane world, but we are not associating with them. We are giving them our association. Now if you call
that it is arrogance. No, it is not arrogance. As Maharaj was saying, it is compassion. I have something what you need. Now if I, out of my sincere feeling for you, give it to you, is it arrogance? No. Therefore there is a difference between arrogance and compassion. Hare Krishna.
So jetzt kommen wir gerade richtig in die Stimmung. Jetzt hoffentlich hier auch.
It's funny, your question.
Yes, very good. Es bringt Spaß, Fragen zu beantworten.
That reminds me actually, remember early days when we used to come here, there was a standard that we shouldn't ask questions, but I started to ask questions.
No one was, the audience was not allowed to ask.
The devotees, because they were so challenging, the devotees used to have
audience. Oh yeah. Oh ja. Bhakti Charu Maharaj erinnert sich gerade, als wir das erste Mal hierher kamen, also wir anfingen, haben wir, when we first started to come here, we didn't take questions from the audience because the audience was so herausfordernd, so challenging, that it was just, it ruined the atmosphere to take their questions.
Yeah, like that. No, but I started to ask.
Yeah, but then Bhakti Charu Maharaj started to encourage the audience to ask questions. Hare Krishna.
I read that the body is not interested in those five kinds of liberation. And one of these is the personal association with the Lord. That's part of the seven. And Prabhupada writes that the body is not interested in it. So on one hand we should become attached to Krishna, and on the other hand we somehow reject, the purest level is somehow not to be interested. I don't understand this.
Should we desire to have association with the Lord, or should we not even desire to have association with the Lord? Well, once there was a devotee who said, he had heard that if one is very advanced, one says, I don't desire anything. So that devotee said to Prabhupada, oh Prabhupada, my desire in my heart is, let me take birth again and again and again in this world. I don't desire even to go back to Krishna. Prabhupada looked at him and he was not pleased at all. He said, you should desire like anything to go back home, back to Godhead. If you don't desire this, but you desire to stay in this rotten material world, you will stay here forever. So, yes, let us be, yes, there are devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that he does not even mind if he has to take birth again and again, as long as that birth is in the house of a devotee. And this brings a devotee sometimes says, he does not want Krishna. A devotee wants bhakti, that means love of Krishna. Because if someone is in love of Krishna, it does not mean, it doesn't matter where he has taken birth, he will always be together with Krishna. That is the logic behind this. I think, let us be realistic. Don't you sometimes want to leave this world with the heavy hardcore guitars and the crazy mind and the lusty feelings? Let's be realistic. We should desire to go back home, back to God. And our movement is called, the magazine of our movement is called Back to Home, Back to Godhead. Yeah. At the same time, we should know that the high state of Krishna consciousness is the love of Godhead, because if one is in love with Krishna, that's the highest goal. Hare Krishna.
had a situation that was bothering me. I had an opportunity a while back to go to Vrindavan, and it seemed like a wonderful opportunity for my spiritual life. But circumstances made it such that the only way I was lying. And I was told that what's good is true. I have a problem with that. I don't understand. Is that proper to do?
To lie?
Yeah.
To go to Vrindavan? Well, it has to, I mean, you have to see from which perspective you are looking at it. You know? Like, if you're intensely desirous to go to Vrindavan, and in order to do that, if you have to lie, it's alright. In one sense. But another way of looking at it is that, no, I won't lie. But if Krishna really wants me to go to Vrindavan, then he'll make the arrangements in such a way that even without lying, I can go there. So, I would say that it is better to take the second option. That is better not to lie, but wait for Krishna to make the proper arrangements for you. Because if ultimately, Vrindavan is Krishna's dham, and one can go there only when Krishna allows him to go there. So, if Krishna really wants you to go, then he'll make the arrangement. You don't have to lie. Maybe we can make it last question, then you can have a little cake.
You wanted to ask if suffering purification in Krishna consciousness. Many times when we suffer, we hear this is purification. I would say purification is whenever you understand something in Krishna consciousness, through happiness or through distress. When you understand something, that means you have been purified. But if you just suffer, there is a question of purification. Or if you just whenever you understand something in Krishna consciousness. So we are now, is this clear? We are now coming to a natural end. The time is running out. But Bhakti Charu Maharaj has suggested that we come to a transcendental end. That is, do a little filter. Mm-hmm.
So he has a question. Maybe we can have the last question.
Last question, yeah.
I just want to ask, making this production of drama films, and actually what's the result of this discovery? I mean, is there some going on? What is the... what's the feedback?
We're talking about second.
Based on what?
Not the feedback. What's the
feedback. Okay. So the question is, I'm curious to know about what the production of Srila Prabhupada's film is, how it's going on, and what's the feedback like. It's going on like we are shooting, we're filming, shooting is still going on in India, and in about May, we will start shooting in America. That is when Prabhupada goes to America, so we have to film in America. So we are planning to shoot in New York, Philadelphia, Gita Nagari, New Vrindavan, and then we'll go to the West Coast, Los Angeles and San Francisco. And then I'm planning to come to England in around September. And I have planned to come to Germany after that. And so the production is going to go on for another 1.5 years to complete it. Now we are, you see, previously we are doing one episode, half an hour episode for the telecasting in Doordarshan in Indian National Television. But now what we are doing is we are filming 4 episodes together in one cassette. You see, when we are trying to put them together, we noticed one problem. That when you make a 20-minute, half an hour segment and put all together in 4, they don't really gel together so well. Because each episode is an episode in itself. So when you put them 4 together, as we are doing in cassettes, video cassettes, they are not really coming out so well. Therefore now we are putting 4, we are planning to make one cassette of 90 minutes in one shot and then divide it into four segments as 4 episodes. So this way we are planning to complete the Indian part in 12 cassettes. And for America, total we'll have 26 cassettes, you see, 108 episodes, 4 in each. 104 episodes, not 108. 4 in each, so that makes it 26 cassettes. So out of these 26 cassettes, first 12 are going to deal with Prabhupada's life in India. The next 6 are going to deal with Prabhupada in America. Then other 3 are going to deal with Prabhupada in other parts of the world. So that makes it 21. And then 5 others are Prabhupada in India. So that is the basic way we are planning to shoot. The response is very good. Like, you see, anything new, takes time to get the recognition or appeal. So people are taking time, But one thing I've noticed, whoever saw it got hooked into it. And it's having some very, very wonderful preaching effect also. To give an example, the other day I received a letter from someone in South Africa. It's a girl, and she was writing that she became connected to ISKCON, and she's a student in the university, and her parents became very upset when she became involved in ISKCON. And so much so that when they would see her offering obeisances to a picture of Srila Prabhupada, she had a picture of Prabhupada in her room, and when she would offer obeisances to the picture of Srila Prabhupada, her parents, especially her mother, would become very, very upset. And but then, now that they're seeing Abhacharan serial, now her mother also started offering obeisances. So this is how it is actually having a very remarkable impact on people's mind, people's Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Of course, I'll also admit that in Germany, unfortunately, it is slow. I don't know why. Like in South Africa, we have reached almost 1,300 targets. We have 1,300 members who are subscribing every month for this.
in a small place like Mauritius, there they have about 300 subscribers. England also has about 500. Whereas in Germany, I think we have reached only about 50. So, anyway, well, I'm sure even the Germans will start watching it and benefit from it. I thought that was the last question. You have?
Yes.
Okay.
Could you kind of answer my question? Is it a natural thing for a devotee to prefer to read a book among Vedic literature, or we still have to try ourselves to teach ourselves to be equal completely to all shastras? Because when I read Srila Prabhupada's books, I like very much to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, I like to read Gita and Bhagavatam. But I have some special taste in reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't know whether it is bad or it is a normal thing.
So these are all Vedic literature.
Huh?
You said Vedic literatures and other literatures?
Srila Prabhupada's books.
Yes, so Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, these are all Prabhupada's books.
Yes.
So they are all written by Srila Prabhupada. So, you said other literatures means what?
No, I mean his different books. And
oh, I see.
Yes.
You see, Prabhupada actually wanted us to read his books systematically. Prabhupada suggested that first we read Bhagavad Gita. Then, after we understood Bhagavad Gita, then we should read Srimad Bhagavatam and then Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because, you see, Bhagavad Gita gives us a very basic understanding of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then when we recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna's intimate pastimes have been described, it becomes easy for us to appreciate that. And then that same Krishna came as a devotee, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, it is preferable that we have a full understanding of who Krishna is by reading Srimad Bhagavatam before we enter into Chaitanya Charitamrita. Otherwise, a layman will not be able to understand who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Therefore, it is preferable that we, step by step, we make the approach. But then again, Prabhupada told me once that these scriptures are like an ocean of nectar. From wherever you drink, it appears to be nectar. That is, you see, when you have the clear understanding of Krishna and his teachings, then you can read any scripture at any time. You'll be able to relish it. But in the beginning, it's better to approach Bhagavad Gita first, then Srimad Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,